Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today our special guest is Bill Tan. Bill Tan owns Bill Tan Investments. He's the president of the San Diego Creative Investment Association, nationally recognized real estate and mortgage investor and exchanger, and he speaks now and trains people. Bill, welcome to our show.
Good morning.
How'd you get your start in the real estate business? How long have you been in it?
I got started a long time ago when when some friends of mine started doing it, and then I really started getting interested when this guy came out with this book called Nothing Down.
Okay.
And there was a real estate investment craze, a lot of seminars, and I took most of them. So I've been doing this since late 70s.
Okay. Who would you say some of your mentors were? Obviously, that the book was written by Robert Allen. And what have been some of the other ones along the way?
I would say John Schaub, Jimmy Napier, Peter Fortunato, Jack Miller. What are the people I used to call the Four Horsemen of Florida.
Okay. Yeah, and they've certainly trained an awful lot of people in not necessarily the typical way to buy properties. So you've had great training, and now you're taking it on yourself. What are the various services, Bill, that your company provides other people?
My company provides several things. One is that I'm a counselor to investors who want to invest in real estate, but we're primarily known for making hard money loans,
okay,
the Norris Group, and buying notes. However, we also buy and sell real estate and use the tax laws, such as Section 1031 of the IRS tax code, to pyramid our wealth.
Okay. How did you get in the note buying business? Because, I mean, that's really, to me, I know it's confusing, to be quite honest with you. You've seen me struggle through your calculator class, so you know that I don't do it.
Well, it might be something you might do in the future, though. And actually, you do when you make loans.
Yeah, I mean, but ours is pretty simple. 1 year, 12%. You know, I can figure that one out pretty much, but getting in the note business, that had to take some ramping up, I would think, and some training. So, how did you get into that side of the business?
Well, very much like people are today, I was talked into, convinced to invest in real estate in another state.
Okay.
And learned all the challenges that come with that. Such as property management, stuff like that. And I got sick and tired of having to travel over there to solve all those problems. So one day I said, you know, to heck with it. I want to get rid of this property. The only way I could sell it was to become the bank.
Okay.
And help finance the sale. And all of a sudden I didn't hear from the tenants. I didn't hear about their toilets. And there wasn't any more turnover. And this check magically appeared in my mailbox every month, and I went, wow, I really like this. this is a whole lot better than that other gig. So I went to a real estate club and told other people who were having the same problems I was having what I had done, and they started selling their properties and carrying back the notes, which is also called paper, themselves. And then after a while, you know, one or two of them say, you know, I'm getting so much a month, maybe $100 a month, but I really need a lump sum of cash. And I said, well, you know, I happen to have some money, so how about I pay you for this note, but I can't pay you what, you know, the face value is. And they said, I'll take it. Then I learned all about negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to buy streams of cash flows for a lump sum. And back then, the best I ever did was I bought a $10,000 note for about
$1,500. Okay.
And I was getting $100 a month on that note.
That's not a bad return.
That's not a bad return. And then this couple of guys came through, gurus came through talking about the note business. I go, you know, I guess I better learn about what I'm already doing.
Right. See if you can intentionally do it some more.
I can intentionally do it more exactly. So I took these classes, one by a guy named Carl Abbe, a guy named John Stefanchik, but my education really took off when I took a class by a guy named John Bailey, B-E-H-L-E.
Huh.
And heard him speak at one of those conventions where a whole bunch of speakers come and speak and sell stuff. And he just taught for a couple hours, and I was really impressed with him. And I signed up to take a week-long class. And it was a week-long class.
That's a long class.
It was a long class, and it was, like he used to say, it was like taking a sip of water out of a fire hose. There was just so much to learn about it. And so from that point on, I started looking for those notes, seller carryback notes, and then needing money, I started using private investors, starting with my grandmother.
Okay.
She was my first investor.
Okay. What circumstances in the real estate market make seller carryback notes more likely?
A circumstance just like we have today, where the money, the lenders are tight. Every time lending gets tight or interest rates rise, then the sellers of properties have to compete with lenders in order to get financing for their properties, because they can't, the buyers who wish to buy many times can't get financing.
Well, I would think you have the largest group of people ever with damaged credit due to foreclosure, too, who still would want to be an owner but have really no idea how to accomplish that as well.
That's exactly true. I really did very, very well back in the 90s when interest rates were high and people couldn't get loans and we were in a real estate downturn, just as we have today.
Right now, I would say we have the worst equity position for owners ever. So a lot of people are upside down on properties, and I don't. They're not a candidate for what you do, I don't think, unless you can tell me something different.
No, they're not a very good candidate.
Okay. Well, I think that's important for people to realize that when you try to get too fancy, let's say somebody has a 5% loan that's $300,000 and it's on a $200,000 house, you might make a case for the monthly payment making sense by changing the terms, but that puts a little stress on whoever owns that note. It's probably not necessarily the best circumstance to get into.
Well, the only protection that someone who takes back a note has, what they truly have, is the property itself and the protective equity in that property, meaning how much the property is worth less any loans. That is the only protection someone who carries back a note has. And that's usually the equity, that the protective equity is usually brought about by a down payment.
Correct.
And right now, we have properties who are upside down, so those are really terrible candidates. However, at any given time, anywhere in the United States, one-third of all properties are free and clear.
That is an amazing statistic. It almost boggles the mind that that's true, although I know statistically that is an accurate statement. You don't seem like you talk to a third of the people in the country. Maybe only four people actually own all that free and clear stuff. But
well, actually, a lot of the properties that are free and clear are land.
Okay, that counts as...
And that counts also. However, there are a great many people who, especially who are older, who have spent their lives paying off their mortgages.
I would imagine those might be really good candidates for a carryback note because they might be interested in cash flow as opposed to a lump sum. And let me ask you now, since you're involved a little bit in tax decisions, if, let's say, a senior has a property that's free and clear that they don't live in, it's a rental or was a rental, and they want to sell it and they carry the paper for virtually the sale price, their taxable event, if they're getting monthly payments that are interest, is that their declarable gain as opposed to the principal that they haven't gotten yet?
Well, let's take two scenarios.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say they have a $100,000 property free and clear.
Okay.
Nice, even number. If they take back an IOU on the property of $100,000,
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get paid for a while. That's an installment sale.
Okay.
If it is, let's say, like 12% interest only.
When you say they don't get paid for a while, you're talking about the 100 grand
part. Paid off. They don't get paid off. I forgot that one word in there.
Okay.
Thank you for catching it.
Okay.
If they don't get paid off for a while, that's called an installment sale.
All right.
Okay. If it's an interest-only note.
Right.
Then they're only getting rent on their note. They're not getting any of their principal pay down.
Okay.
So they are not paying taxes on their profit of the property. They are only paying taxes on the interest on the note.
Okay. And that could continue perhaps right up until they are no longer with us, and then that would be an estate issue, but they would have only had to declare interest, their interest portion.
Correct.
Okay. Are notes making a comeback right now then?
Yes. Let me go back to the...
Go right ahead. Oh, second scenario. That's right. I'm sorry.
Now, if they were to create an IOU against a property for, you know, a note for, let's say, 30 years.
Yes.
Fully amortized over those 30 years.
Yes.
Then part of every payment they would receive would be interest. That would be taxable.
Okay.
Plus, part of every payment they would receive would be principal pay down, and that is taxable also.
Okay.
Usually on long-term gain basis.
Okay. Is there such a thing as a typical seller carryback note? You know, you've seen your share of them, so is there...
No, there isn't.
Okay.
What's wonderful about notes, it's whatever two people can come together and agree to either then, or they can modify it later down the line. I've seen some really interesting ones where grandparents want to make sure their grandchildren have money to go to college. And so I bought a note once that at certain points for a four-year span, lump sums would be paid on that note. Let's say it was a $100,000 note, but after 5 years of payments, all of a sudden there would be a $10,000 pay down.
Okay.
For the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason would be so that their grandchild would have money to go to college.
Now, was this, this was a note that you originated in the way that, you know, you met with the seller and you structured a note based on their needs? Is that how it worked out?
Actually, I bought the note and it was a fully amortized note.
And you changed the structure.
And I changed the structure because I asked them why they were selling it, and they said they were selling it so that they could get money for their grandchild to go to college. And I said, well, you know, there's a lot of money left over. You know, what are you going to do with the money? They were going to put it in the bank, and interest rates at banks are not very high at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, they were about 1%. And so I said, well, why don't you just get a really good interest rate in the meantime, and I'll just pay how much your grandchild needs. How much would they need? And they came up with a amount of $10,000. So we changed the note. We modified it.
You know, that may be an easy transaction for you to do. It's probably more complicated by a multiple of two or three than one I've ever done, and I've done a lot of houses. So that's interesting. We have two different worlds of experience. Mine is very boring compared to yours. How much is it? I can only pay this much. And you somehow have landed on the other side where you really can deal with a lot of creative solutions. And in a marketplace where lenders are very tight, I know your niche is going to be very important to know.
Well, I've been excited for a few years. And if the government hadn't intervened as much as they had, the note business would have just skyrocketed a little while ago.
Finding out who owns the note, has that changed? And because of just the nature of the website, let's say Craigslist, or is it people that want to sell notes, so they put them in the newspaper? How do they find you? Let's put it that way.
When I first got in the business, we were unknown, truly unknown. Mm-hmm. People really had no marketplace at all for their notes. So if you called up somebody and they had a note and they were receiving payments, if they didn't want to continue receiving payments, they didn't have anybody else to talk to.
Correct.
Because of the internet and because of all gurus going around teaching some courses, some people are more aware than they used to be. For the most part, they aren't. So it is still a niche that most people don't understand. It's a niche that when somebody takes back a note, the biggest sales job when somebody buys a property from someone and to convince them to take back a note is when that person sells a property and takes back a note, they figure they're taking back that note until it's eventually paid off.
Exactly. Well, now, is most of the contact that you have with people with existing notes, are you going to them because you know something's been recorded, like a carryback note, or are they finding you through their own research on the website, or, you know, are you advertising some way for them to call you?
Right now, it's not economically efficient to advertise like I used to.
Okay.
There are ways of finding the notes right now. One way is to just get the information from your local title company representative. Most of the notes I receive are referred to me. And almost 100% of my business is referral-based because I've been doing it so long.
Any horror stories about, gosh, I thought this was a legit note, but all of a sudden it maybe turns out that it isn't?
Oh, there's always fraud whenever there is money involved. And yes, there can be, especially when investors, or they call themselves investors, but really they're note brokers, when they really don't do their homework, don't do the due diligence just like they should do when they, you know, any investor buys a house.
It's like checking title to ownership of a house. You're checking somehow an ownership of a note.
Right. When a note is valued,
mm-hmm.
There's more process to it than valuing a house. Because the ultimate payer for the note is the house, so you have to value the house first.
Okay.
And then you value the person who's making the payments, and then the quality of the note, the terms, the payments, so forth, and so forth. So there's more that goes into valuing a note than there is that goes into valuing real estate. Because real estate's part of valuing the note.
If you're creating a note that you want to be sellable, what would be the perfect formula? Length, interest, equity position?
Well, we have a saying in the note business that shorter is better than longer.
Okay.
More of a down payment is better than less.
Okay.
More down payment and shorter is more better.
More better. Okay. Okay.
Because the longer the term of the note is, in order to pay for it in today's dollars, because we take into effect inflation, then the smaller we can pay for the note in regard to the size of the note. For example, if somebody were to bring me today a fully amortized 30-year note,
right,
and I needed to get a yield on my investment, just like any other investor does, and let's say it was only 10% interest,
mm-hmm.
we could only pay about 50% of today's face value of that note in order to get a 10% return on our investment.
And we're assuming
the notes had a interest rate of say 6%.
Okay, that's what I was. Yeah, so if it's face value of the note was 6%, they wanted to get cash, and you wanted a 10% yield, it'd be about 50% of the face value of the note that you could pay in cash to get that 10% yield. Now,
that's a hard sell.
Yes, of course, and that's why, you know, if you're setting up a note that you want to sell, it's probably a really good idea to know that there's a 10% market, not a 6% market.
Correct.
So if you carried a 10% 30-year note, you'd probably get close to par?
If you carried a, what was that? I'm sorry.
A 30-year 10% note that had good equity, is there a possibility you'd get close to par value for the note?
There's a possibility. Not if you were dealing with me.
No, of course not. You have to have a margin. You know, I guess that's...
You know, that's something that most people don't realize, that you and I are in business to make a profit.
Yeah, we're not just facilitating. We actually have to have some residual at the end.
Now, there is another alternative for people who, if they were to create that note, and that is, if they did not need all the money they possibly could out of it right away,
right,
then I could buy part of the note.
See, this is where my head starts to hurt, but go ahead.
This is where your head starts to hurt. Well, let me give you a very good example. It's one that I use all the time because the numbers were really good.
Okay.
It was on a property that was in West Covina. Those of us in Southern California know where West Covina is. It's in the L.A. Basin. And the note, I helped them structure the note upon the sale of a property so that the owner of the property could sell the note after she sold her property.
Exactly. Okay.
And the note face value was $100,000.
Okay.
And the people couldn't qualify for a new loan, but they had $5,000 down. So they put $5,000 down, and the woman took back a $100,000 note.
Okay.
It was for 30 years. It was, back then, I believe it was 7.5% interest.
Okay.
And she needed money to go to Idaho to buy a condo near her daughter and her grandchildren because her husband of her lifetime had just passed away.
Okay.
So I bought the first 5 years of payments on that note, the first 60 payments.
Okay.
And I gave her $30,000 for those 60 payments.
Okay.
And she got the $5,000 down payment, so she was able to pay the closing costs upon the sale of her house. She went to Idaho and bought a $20,000 condo and still had money left over.
A perfect solution. So you got a good yield?
So I got a very good yield.
Okay.
I got the payments for the first 5 years, and she was still receiving income from her husband's retirement and so forth. At the end of 5 years, I would stop receiving the payments, and then she would start receiving the payments. Actually, I think it was a 10% interest note back then.
Okay.
And she was getting about $877 a month.
Okay.
At that point.
But well,
I got all the payments in between. Now, the great part for her benefit was at the end of 5 years, that $100,000 note had amortized.
Yeah. Not
it
too much.
It amortized down to $95,000.
Wow.
So she only lost $5,000 of principal in the first 5 years of payments.
And she got to solve what she wanted to with a lump sum of money up front.
And she got to solve her problem.
That's amazing.
That was most of my business in the 90s.
Let's talk about your training. I've taken your beginner course, which I would imagine that's the first one. And I don't think you could probably survive the three-day one until you had the basics down. But your technique of teaching is very effective. You make your students struggle. Why do you do that?
Well,
you don't let anybody off the hook.
That's so nice the way you put it, Bruce. You make your students struggle. I feel that the only way that we can learn is by making mistakes.
Okay.
Because that's the only way I have ever learned. And the more mistakes I can help you make, I believe the more learning will take place. And I don't just throw you out there.
No, of course not.
I give you some lifelines. And what you're talking about is the calculator, financial calculator class.
Yes.
I was supposed to put on recently a three-day creative financing techniques and strategies class in which you don't need the calculator.
You don't?
You don't need a calculator at all.
I'll be there. We only have another minute left. Do you have that rescheduled by any chance?
Not yet. I'm going to talk to your son as soon as he comes back from wherever he went.
Okay.
Now that I know that I'm going to be well, I'm hoping that maybe I can reschedule it for the first weekend in June, but I need to talk to Aaron.
Okay. Let's go ahead and mention your website, and I'm sure that information will be there as well as other training and information on your company. So it's, why don't you go ahead and give that?
My website is BillTanInvestments.com. That's BillTanInvestments.com.
Well, Bill, it's been a pleasure, and it's been a pleasure actually being able to speak in front of your club and all the nice things you've done for my family and my wife during her illnesses. We really have appreciated. We really do. So, Bill, thanks again for joining us very much.
Oh, it's always my pleasure.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.